All right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, all you magnificent melon heads of the world. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Today is September 17th, 2025. Happy Fed Day, everybody. Today is the much anticipated, much discussed, postulated FOMC. The Federal Reserve will decide what they're going to do with interest rates this morning, this afternoon. We'll get that decision sometime around 2 o'clock. Look, they're going to cut. They're going to cut almost certainly by 25 basis points. There's a very, very slight chance they go 50. The big question is, what kind of clues do they give us about future rate decisions? The market right now is pricing in 3 cuts between now and the end of the year. Will we get more than that? Will they say anything about quantitative tightening, which the Fed is still doing, even though the money supply is growing somehow? That will also inform the market's reaction. Now, I'll be honest with you, I don't really know what the market is going to do today. There's not going to be any surprises, or at least I don't think. Nobody expects any surprises, which is kind of the nature of surprises, I guess, in hindsight. Nobody ever really expects them. Otherwise, they wouldn't be surprising. But will this be a sell the news event? That's the big question. My gut tells me, yes, it will be a little bit of a sell the news event. Everybody's like, oh, markets rally 100% of the time when the Fed cuts a year after the prior cut, or all these obscure data points people are trying to invent as reasons why the market is going to rally. When everybody expects the market to rally, maybe that means the market isn't going to rally. Maybe that means everybody is already all in. Case in point, $1.02 trillion worth of margin debt has been taken out by U.S. investors this year to pump stocks. So if everybody is already in the market and everybody has already borrowed $1 trillion to buy the market, who's left to buy the market? I don't know. Maybe there's some guy in Toledo that hasn't bought stocks yet. But outside of him, you really only have sellers, don't you? So there could be a sell the news event this morning on the Fed decision. But the other big news going on here is China has come out with an order for their domestic firms to cancel NVIDIA orders for their GPUs. Now, this is interesting. There were some articles a few weeks ago where Chinese firms were requesting, or the Chinese government was requesting firms avoid NVIDIA GPUs, preference for domestically produced chips. Now they're like, yo, you guys need to cancel your orders. Not just don't buy them in the future. If you already ordered them, cancel them. Which raises questions, oh, gee, I hope NVIDIA hasn't recognized any revenue already, because then they'd have to go back and restate that. But that's a whole other separate issue here. We're talking about the RTX Pro 6000D. Wow, that's a mouthful. I'm sure Gamers Nexus could tell you all about the RTX Pro 6000D while probably MFing Bloomberg up and down the side of the road, deservedly so for what they did to Gamers Nexus. This is a specific GPU. It's more of like a gaming GPU, but it's also being used for AI applications. They string them together in parallel and they use them for that. And it was designed specifically for China to circumvent U.S. export controls, much like the H20, which also is not going to be sold to China because the Chinese ordered them to avoid it. Now, look, I really don't know what's going on here. This is almost certainly another salvo in the trade war. Obviously, China is trying to prioritize its own domestic chips to reduce reliance on U.S. chips. NVIDIA is trying to get around all these export controls, creating these custom chips made specifically for China. The Chinese aren't buying it. And at the same time, you've got this massive smuggling operation where they're selling the high-end chips into the Chinese market while telling us they're not doing it via Singapore and Malaysia. That, you know, the worst kept secret on Wall Street. So I don't know, does this ban have any impact on the smuggling? We won't know until we see what the Singapore revenue looks like in the future. That's where NVIDIA hides their Chinese sales. All I can tell you is this is just one more thing you got to watch out for in this AI bubble, guys. And it just feels like we're getting close. Ever since that CoreWeave story earlier this week, where we find out that this whole time since 2023, April of 2023, NVIDIA has been agreeing to rent back their GPUs from CoreWeave. By the way, if you haven't seen that video, I highly recommend you check that out. It's in my feed here. The circular accounting is just getting ridiculous in this AI bubble. Also going on this morning, we got some news from Apple. Their iPhone sales were down significantly in the weeks leading up to the iPhone 17 launch. They were down about 6%, which is, you usually see a little bit of a drop in sales in the weeks ahead of the new iPhone launch, but this was down quite a bit more than expected. And actually, the entire Chinese smartphone market shrank by about 2% from July to August. That is indicative of what we see going on in China as consumption is dragging. The real estate market is collapsing in China. People feel poorer. The wealth effect causes them to spend less money. Combine that with a huge overcapacity problem in the Chinese economy. They just have too many factories and then not enough demand for what the factories are spitting out. That's causing everybody to lower their prices. It's a race to the bottom. It's squeezing profit margins. And the Chinese are trying to stimulate consumption to offset that. And at least when it comes to iPhone sales, it's not working. We're probably going to hear a lot more about this overcapacity problem in China in the months and years ahead. We got Japanese exports to the United States fell sharply in August. No surprise there. That's tariffs. But some of the numbers are pretty big here. Overall, U.S. exports down 13.8% year over year for August. Autos were down 28.4%. And the interesting thing there is Japanese auto companies are still lowering prices. The Japanese automakers, those who can, are eating the cost of the tariffs. It's not happening in every sector. Some sectors we're seeing pass through to the consumers, but not in Japanese autos. Coincidentally, we had stories about more facilities closing at Nissan yesterday. That's the Japanese automaker that is in the worst condition. Nissan's laying off about 20,000 people over the next year. They're closing 7 of their production facilities. And then yesterday, they announced that they're closing design facilities. I believe it was in San Diego here in the U.S. and also in Brazil. So the autos down big. Chip-making equipment exports were also way down, negative 38.9% for August. The tariffs are taking a chunk out of Japanese exports. But again, any benefits to the United States, any onshoring, any new U.S. factories, that's still going to take years to materialize. The higher prices and, you know, the retaliations from the trade war will get here long before any of the benefits do. We also had some interesting housing news over the last couple of hours here. Mortgage demand spiked last week. We saw interest rates fell again, anticipating these Fed rate cuts. The average 30-year mortgage fell to 6.39%, down 10 basis points from 6.49% last week. That caused a big spike in refi applications, 58% to be exact. A lot of people are cashing out the equity in their home on these lower interest rates, probably using that to pay for credit card bills and pay off buy now, pay later loans, who knows what. Now, interestingly enough, though, it's not translating to home purchases. We only saw a 3% increase in applications to purchase a home. So this big drop in rates, nobody's buying. It's only caused people to refi. And in the home building front, we also got some worrying statistics. Housing starts down 8.5% for the month of August. Despite those lower rates, the builders are not starting any new projects. Building permits were also down 4% month over month. And the building permits actually hit the lowest number since June of 2019, as long as you don't count the pandemic months. So the home builders are in bad shape here. We got General Mills earnings came in. They were terrible because consumers are switching to cheaper private label alternatives. Kind of hilarious. RCI Hospitality Holdings. That's the owner of Rick's Cabaret, the Gentleman's Club chain in New York. They were caught they're being indicted for a 13-year bribery scheme that saw RCI Holdings bribing state tax collectors and auditors with sometimes thousands of dollars a day in free lap dances. God damn, forensic accountants know how to party. Who'd have thunk it? I never would have guessed. But apparently that's going on in New York. We've got a very interesting and very worrying story about the Chicago pension system. Article in Bloomberg hit last night. You're not going to want to miss that one. Stick around to the end of the show, as well as your typical warning about watch out for those private assets, that illiquid garbage that Wall Street is trying to park in your retirement account. Got another warning from Bloomberg about that one this morning. Guys, we got a lot to talk about, which is why I'm out of breath. Why don't we shrink my big melon of a head and let's see what's going on in the world of finance today. Don't forget that like button and that subscribe button for the algorithm if you're new here, so you can come back and have your coffee with the melon heads, because we do this one every day. And look, guys, the market's going a whole bunch of nowhere right now. The S&P is up 1 point, 0.02% higher ahead of the opening bell. It's just waiting for the Fed. The market's going to wait and see. What does Jay Powell say? The Dow, pretty much the same thing, a little bit higher, 65 points in the green for the Dow. That's up 0.14%. That's really the only index that's making any big moves this morning. The NASDAQ, negative 1 point, maybe negative 2 points here, 0.01% lower. So two of the three indexes have done nothing. The Dow is up a little bit. Meanwhile, the DXY is a little bit higher this morning, 96.76. That's 11 basis points higher, a little bit stronger than yesterday, but still that 96 handle. The dollar continues to weaken. Looking over at the bond market, we've got not very much movement here either. 30-year Treasury, 4.627. That's down almost 2 basis points. The 10-year is unchanged at 4.024. The 2-year is at 3.509. That's off by a fraction of a point. And the 1 month is down 2.5 points at 4.085. We'll probably see that one drop in the next few hours. Looking over at the commodities board, we got a rough morning for metals here. Gold is down about $11.50. Spot gold is at $3,677. That's off by about 1/3%. And silver, oh my God, look how they massacred my boy. Look what they've done to silver, $41.77 for spot silver. That's down 78 cents or 1.84% this morning. Silver's having a rough day. But you know what? The run silver and gold have had over the last couple of weeks, I think they're entitled to a little bit of a slam in the morning here. And regardless, I still like the shiny. Copper is down 1.5%. Platinum is down 1.8%. Palladium is down 1.5%. And crude oil is down about 20 cents. October WTI futures are at 64.33, off by about 0.3%. Looking over at Bitcoin this morning, we're at $116,120-ish as priced on Coinbase. Down a little bit from this point yesterday, but still above the 50-day moving average. So the technicals on Bitcoin still looking okay here. But remember, guys, be careful on leverage with crypto. We are just days, maybe weeks away from the onset of crypto winter, if you use the last three halving cycles as any guide, that would typically indicate something bad is on the horizon in crypto. My guess is it will be treasury companies this time around. But here's the big one this morning. China orders firms to stop buying NVIDIA AI chip, the Financial Times says. This one is just breaking a couple hours ago. China's internet watchdog has instructed companies, including Alibaba and ByteDance, to terminate orders for NVIDIA's RTX Pro 6000D, the Financial Times reported, citing people with knowledge of the matter. All right, this is not just a suggestion. This is not a, we encourage you to use domestic. You are ordered to terminate orders for this GPU. This is an escalation here. The Cyberspace Administration of China told companies this week to stop testing the chip and cancel existing orders, the Financial Times reported. Before the diktat, several companies indicated they would order tens of thousands of the product, which NVIDIA introduced to get around restrictions on the shipment of advanced AI chips to China, the Financial Times said. Such a move would mark an escalation of Beijing's campaign against the use of NVIDIA's accelerators, essential to AI development, but largely banned from the world's largest semiconductor arena. It would follow instructions handed down over the summer, pushing firms to avoid using the H20, the lower-end chip that the Trump administration this year decided to allow NVIDIA to ship to China. Looks like China doesn't want the things. NVIDIA stock right now down about 1.2% ahead of the open, kind of a muted reaction to this. You know, the RTX Pro 6000D wasn't their big bread and butter, right? The Blackwell is their big AI servers. That's really where NVIDIA makes most of their money. But they did specifically design this chip for the Chinese money or for the Chinese market. The H20 caused NVIDIA to take a $5.5 billion charge earlier this year on their earnings. We'll see what this one looks like when NVIDIA reports earnings in a couple of months here. But right now, NVIDIA, $172.74, down about $2. Not a very big reaction. NVIDIA still remains within about $10 of an all-time high heading into Fed Day. And we got this one from Apple. Their China iPhone sales slumped ahead of the new model's launch. I don't know if this is so much an Apple story or is this a China story? Maybe a little bit of both, but it ain't good here. Apple's smartphone sales in China in the weeks leading up to the iPhone 17 launch fell 6% from the year earlier period, as a deeper slump than is typical ahead of a new flagship product release. The U.S. company wasn't alone in experiencing a slow summer, as sales at fellow mobile makers Xiaomi, Vivo, and Honor Device all declined in the first 8 weeks of the year's third quarter, according to Counterpoint Research. China's overall market shrank 2% over that period, as I have pop-ups giving me a headache here. All right, China's overall market shrank 2% over that period, covering July and August, despite generous government subsidies to encourage consumption. And that last part there, guys, that's, you know, forget the Apple specifics for a minute there. Generous government subsidies to encourage consumption. That's kind of like China's economy in a nutshell right now. Their housing market is collapsing. Chinese consumers have a huge portion of their net worth in housing. And we saw this here domestically in the U.S. People spend less money when their homes go down in value. It's called the wealth effect. And it's particularly potent in housing versus stocks or other investments. And so with housing collapsing in China, Chinese consumers are not consuming. Combine that with a huge overcapacity problem in China, and you've got just stuff piling up in stores. The Chinese are trying to stimulate consumption. They're trying to roll out all these stimulus measures, all these things to support consumption, and it's having a marginal impact, probably something that's going to continue for several years. And of course, the demographics and the population decline in China not helping with that either. Also on the trade war front this morning, Japan's exports are down in August as automakers grapple with U.S. tariffs. This one broke late last night. Japan's exports fell for a fourth straight month in August, government data showed on Wednesday, as elevated U.S. tariffs took a deeper toll on the country's automotive and other manufacturing sectors. Japanese automakers are still mostly absorbing the tariff costs by cutting export prices to maintain U.S. sales volumes, said somebody I can't pronounce, the chief economist at Mizuho Research. But some of them, unable to withstand rising costs, have begun increasing prices to pass them on to consumers, he said. Coupled with growing uncertainties over the U.S. economy, the tariff impact on Japan's exports and output is set to intensify toward the year's end. Total exports by value dropped just 0.1% year-on-year in August, the data showed. That's less than the median forecast for a 1.9% decrease following a 2.6% fall in July. So it looks like Japan is making up for the loss of U.S. exports by shipping more to certain other markets. Don't know what that looks like long-term, if they'll be able to keep that up. But exports to the United States plunged by 13.8% in August from a year earlier, representing the largest drop since February of 2021. Dragged down by a 28.4% fall in automobiles and a 38.9% plunge in chip-making equipment. So big drop in autos, the biggest since February of 2021. That was like peak chip shortage when no cars were shipping because they couldn't finish the cars because nobody could get chips. Not good for the Japanese here. Now, those lower tariffs just went into effect. Remember, we cut the deal with the Japanese. They finally finalized it. And so the auto tariffs are going to drop from like 27% down to 15% going forward. We'll see if that does anything to offset some of this decline in Japanese exports. And we got a whole bunch of news in the real estate sector this morning. Mortgage refinance demand spikes nearly 60% as interest rates drop sharply. A lot of people are refinancing their houses on these lower rates here. Mortgage rates last week dropped to the lowest level since October of last year. That caused a massive run on refinances as consumers seek more savings in an uncertain economy. Applications to refinance a home loan jumped 58% last week compared with the previous week and were 70% higher than the same week 1 year ago, according to the Mortgage Bankers Association's seasonally adjusted index. The refinance share of mortgage activity increased to 59.8% of total applications from 48.8% the prior week. Let's see. Potential home buyers were not quite as invigorated by the drop in rates. Applications for a mortgage to purchase a home rose just 3% for the week, but were 20% higher than the same week a year ago. So we got a little bit of a bump in applications to buy, but mostly it's just people refinancing. And it's important to note, a lot of people are refinancing into adjustable rate mortgages. That's people making bets that interest rates are going to go down. So far, they've gone down. They've dropped over the last couple of weeks. But remember, we saw last year when the Fed cut in September, interest rates went the opposite direction. Mortgage rates went up. Long-term interest rates went up. That could happen this time around. especially if people start to believe inflation is going to go higher in the future, as inflation expectations have been rising for the last several months. And we got more bad news in the real estate market, this time affecting home buyers. U.S. housing starts dropped sharply by 8.5% month over month in August to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of just 1.307 million units, down from a slightly revised 1.429 million in July and well below expectations for 1.37 million. So a big miss on housing starts. Down sharply here, pretty much at the low end of the band we've been in for the last several years. This data goes back to August of 2022. We were only lower in July of last year and May of this year. I'm sorry. So housing starts not looking so good. And building permits looks even worse. Building permits in the United States decreased to 1,312,000 in August from 1,362,000 in July. That was building permits in the United States. Okay, we don't need the average here. So they're down. It was a big miss. The market was, again, expecting like 1.37 million. We got 1.31. But look at this. Let's look at, first of all, a five-year chart here. All right, this is a five-year chart of building permits in the United States. You can see we have been pretty much steadily falling, I don't know, since the Fed started raising rates at the beginning of 2022. That trend is intact. We've now taken out the low that we saw a couple of months ago. But when you zoom out to a 10-year, you can see here, guys, get rid of the pandemic, that massive dip here. And you can see where we're at here at 1.31 million. That is lower than we've been since June of 2019, was the last time we had fewer housing starts than we have right now. Of course, if you ignore the big drop in the pandemic. So home builders continue to see bad data here. The housing market remains frozen. And so far, lower mortgage rates has done nothing to juice the housing market. Home sales remain basically at record lows here. Meanwhile, we got General Mills earnings. They're saying it was better than expected earnings, but the expectations were pretty low. These earnings were actually pretty bad from General Mills this morning. Shares of General Mills declined in pre-market trading Wednesday after the cereal maker posted better than expected fiscal first quarter earnings and reaffirmed its guidance. Adjusted earnings of 86 cents a share topped analyst estimates of 81 cents a share, according to FactSet, but they were in line with expectations, but down 6.8% from a year earlier. So they were kind of expecting a decline is what the story is here. The packaged food company has struggled with weak demand as consumers shift to cheaper private labels amid inflation. The rising popularity of weight management drugs has further dampened people's appetite. Excluding the 3 months ended November, net sales have declined year over year for five quarters in a row, while earnings were down three quarters in a row. For the fourth quarter of fiscal 2025, General Mills posted a 3% decline in sales as adjusted earnings shrank by 27%, 3% decline in sales, earnings down 27%. That is margins getting squeezed by inflation. They're unable to pass those price hikes on to consumers who have started rejecting General Mills products for the private label alternatives. And so General Mills stock down about one, let's refresh, get an accurate mark here. General Mills stock down about 2.4% ahead of the opening bell, trading at $48.43, that's off by about $1.18, and the stock is down about 22% year-to-date. So that one not looking so good this morning. Check this one out. Rick's Cabaret parent and executives are indicted in New York tax fraud and bribery case. Gotta love this one, the government. They are so predictably corrupt. The parent company of Rick's Cabaret and other strip clubs, as well as five executives, have been indicted over their alleged roles in a 13-year bribery scheme to avoid paying millions of dollars in New York sales taxes, according to New York Attorney General Letitia James. RCI Hospitality Holdings officials, including CEO Eric Langan and three of the company's Manhattan clubs, together faced nearly 80 charges in a New York state court, including criminal tax fraud, bribery, and conspiracy. James said that between September of 2010 and January of 2024, RCI and its executives bribed a former auditor with the New York Department of Taxation and Finance to obtain favorable treatment in six audits. She said this enabled RCI to avoid more than $8 million of state and city sales tax on dance dollars That's an in-house currency that clubs sold to customers for various services, including private dances. The auditor, whose name is redacted from the indictment, allegedly received at least 13 complimentary trips to RCI-owned strip clubs in the Miami area, including up to several $1,000s per day of private dances. Several $1,000s per day of private dances. That is one accountant who likes the champagne room. I don't know what to tell you here, guys. I don't know. I'm sure there's a million jokes out there about accountants and strip clubs and private dances. But, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see this one expand. A cash-heavy business like a strip club, something tells me they're probably going to find money laundering and other things going on here. But for now, it's just your run-of-the-mill bribing of accounting executives and bribing of state officials in order to save money on your taxes. All right, let's talk about this one. I smell a rat in this story. Let's just put it this way. Something here doesn't smell right. Chicago lends pension cash to stop asset sale from tax delay. There's a lot to unpack in this story. Let's dig into this one. Chicago is stepping in to lend cash to its underfunded pensions so they have enough money to avoid asset sales to cover retirement checks as they wait for property taxes to come in after a computer issue, wink, wink, delayed collections. The city's decision helps lessen the risk that its four pensions would need to sell assets from their portfolios, which include stocks, bonds, real estate, and private equity, to raise cash after a glitch in setting up a new county computer system is delaying hundreds of millions of dollars in property tax earmarked for the funds. All right, so a couple things we got to say. All right, they're saying it's a glitch. Well, I guess we'll just have to take their word for it. Sorry, our computer system cost us hundreds of millions of dollars in late property taxes. I'm sure those hundreds of millions of dollars in late property taxes has nothing to do with people aren't paying rent, and so landlords don't have the money. And I'm sure it has nothing to do with office values plunging and the owners of the office buildings defaulting on their loans, and therefore property taxes on offices not getting paid. No, it's just a glitch, all right? Okay, let's take them at their word for that, which I don't take them at their word for that. But why is it so important that we avoid asset sales? Why would we rather borrow money incurring interest and fees when we could sell assets to pay? Maybe that's got something to do with private equity assets that aren't worth what these pension funds are holding them on their books. Maybe they're afraid of price discovery, and that's why they'd rather borrow money from the city, which also doesn't have the money, by the way, instead of selling those assets. The city has sent $28 million to the Fireman's Annuity and Benefit Fund as of Chicago as of September 12th. According to its finance and budget office, Chicago is keeping tabs on the monthly cash needs of all four of its pensions, CFO Jill Jaworski told the City Council Budget Committee last week. The other three funds provide benefits to retired laborers, police officers, and municipal workers. The city is among numerous local tax bodies dealing with the delay. Chicago Public Schools has racked up millions in penalties because it is late in paying its teachers' pension fund. This problem is all over the city. Last year, Johnson's proposal to raise property taxes by $300 million to close a budget gap was unanimously defeated by city council. Chicago's levy has more than doubled to $1.77 billion in 2024 from a decade earlier, largely to meet a state mandate to raise the pension funding ratios to 90% by 2055. But collectively, the four pensions in the city currently hold just 26.2% of assets compared to long-term liabilities. Chicago's pensions aren't just underfunded. They are like chronically underfunded. They've only got a quarter of their liabilities met. And that's with asset prices at bloated all-time high valuations and even private equity assets that are ridiculously overmarked versus what they could actually sell them to. The city's firefighter pensions long-term liability as of December 31st stood at almost $7.5 billion, and it held nearly $1.8 billion in assets, putting it funded at a ratio of just 23.7. But it gets worse because they just increased the benefits. They just passed a big increase in the pension. Recent benefit increases threatened to push it that lower at a time when levels for large public pensions nationally have risen to an average of closer to 78%. Chicago's pensions, guys, they're not officially bankrupt, but they are doomed, all right? With assets at an all-time high and they're only funded at roughly a quarter of their liabilities, Good God. And now they're not getting any property tax revenue. They say it's just from a computer program. All right, tinfoil hats on. Maybe it is just a computer program, or maybe they're lying about the computer glitch because nobody's paying their taxes because everybody's broke, which means what is that pension really worth? It's an unfunded liability from a bankrupt institution. And that sucks, guys, because you know, you're talking about seniors' retirement savings. And as always, guys, I have to warn you, every show I'm going to warn you about this, because these private assets being snuck into retirement plans, I think it's playing a role in that Chicago story, and it's playing a role in this one. Private markets exposure rises at top pension funds. This is in Bloomberg yesterday. Regulation and compliance have driven an unprecedented wall of U.S. retirement money into private assets. A new report by Bloomberg Intelligence shows, casting new light on the real-world risks from finance's continued push into areas beyond the traditional oversight of regulators. Private assets are illiquid, they are not accurately marked to market, and they are beyond the reach of regulators. Oh, what's the worst that could happen? The top 20 U.S. pension funds alone hold about $500 billion of private market exposure, the analysts found, with some having doubled their allocations to unlisted investments over the past decade. Exposures across the broader $43.4 trillion of U.S. retirement assets are also rising against a backdrop of declining numbers of U.S. publicly traded companies and ever more privately held unicorns worth more than $1 billion apiece. Investors are gaining exposure to private firms through 401ks, mutual funds, and ETFs, often without knowing it, analysts including Andrew Silverman wrote in the report, describing how regulatory requirements, the availability of private equity financing, and acquisitiveness of large companies have put a damper on initial public offerings. And guys, this is what you got to worry about here. This is why I keep warning you guys. Investors are gaining exposure to private firms through 401ks, mutual funds, and ETFs, often without knowing it. They're putting your money in this crap, and they're not even telling you. I'm warning you guys, like every show, know what is in your 401k, know what's in your IRA. Open up that fund prospectus, know what you own. If you don't know, ask the questions, because I'm telling you guys, Wall Street is holding a ton of this garbage. They need to get it off their books. And history has shown us what happens when they do this. When they need to get this crap off their books, first they sell it to you, then they mark to market. Not until it's off their own books. I've been warning every single show. They're still doing it. President Trump made it easier for them to do it with his executive order. Why? I don't know. It was a terrible decision. It's going to come back to haunt them. Just be careful, guys. Know what you own. Hey, Corn Pop, who may or may not actually exist. Welcome, Corn Pop. Thank you for becoming a new YouTube member. Welcome to the Melonheads. Just a remember, guys, a reminder, YouTube memberships get you one free super chat every month. Feel free to use that, and I will read and respond to your questions live on the air. Thank you, Corn Pop, for supporting the channel. Steve Canyon writes, happy 238th Constitution Day. All right. Constitution, not to be confused with the Declaration of Independence. It was 238 years ago today that it was signed. Well, happy birthday, Constitution. Thank you, Steve Canyon, for the historical anecdote and for supporting the channel. Nacho Man Randy Savage says, morning, Jack. Thanks for a great community. Hey, thank you, Nacho Man, for being a part of it and for supporting the channel. I appreciate that very much, as well as all you Melonheads and magnanimous Melonheads. You guys rock. All you guys who show up every day in the chat here to say good morning and say hello, you guys are awesome. Thank you so much. Thanks again, Nacho. Madison Hype says, Merry Fed Day, Shoeshine Boy equivalent for AI bubble. The Shoeshine Boy equivalent for the AI bubble. I mean, look, that's the famous story, right? When J.P. Morgan, I think, is the guy who originally told that story. He was getting his shoes shined on the street in Wall Street, and the shine boy who was shining his shoes started pitching stock tips to him while he was shining his shoes. And he took that famously as a sign. Okay, if even the shine boys are buying stocks, who's left to go buy stocks now if they're buying stocks? That means the market is saturated. See also the comment about Stringer Bell in The Wire when he's talking about, you know, one of the guys on his corner cruise had two cell phones, and he calls up his broker. He says, sell all the cell phone companies. The market's saturated. There's nobody left to sell it to. Yeah, I think the AI bubble is there. And look, the AI bubble, it was never anything of substance to begin with. It was always just circular accounting, right? I mean, they admitted to that. That CoreWeave story, and again, guys, go check out that video if you haven't already. CoreWeave and NVIDIA, I've been talking about the incestuous relationship between those two companies for years, but it turns out the whole freaking time, since months before my first video on CoreWeave, NVIDIA has been agreeing to rent any unused chips back from CoreWeave. All right? That's like saying, oh, don't worry, my daughter's selling all these Girl Scout cookies, even though it's dad that's buying and eating them all. So no, she's not a good salesman. Her dad is just a pig and he's trying to inflate her sales for whatever reason. Like, that's what NVIDIA is doing with CoreWeave's chips. And if the demand for these things is so insatiable, if it's so insane, why does NVIDIA need to backstop that demand? If the market can't get enough of them, you wouldn't sit there and demand this. NVIDIA wouldn't sign up for those big liabilities. It's almost like the demand has been manufactured out of thin air all along. Well, nobody saw that coming. Thank you, Madison. Appreciate the super chat, the support of the channel. Spud Ruckus says, you see that Tucker Carlson, Sam Altman interview? Not if I can help it. I'll be honest with you. Sam Altman makes my freaking skin crawl. When I hear that guy talk, like, my spider sense tingles. Like, danger, danger, Jack Gamble. I really cannot stand Sam Altman. I think he is such a snake in the grass. Everything about the way he does business, I don't like it. And he's the godfather of this whole $20 trillion bubble that came along right when big tech desperately needed a shiny new thing. The sell-off in tech in 2022 was brutal, and it stopped dead in its tracks when Sam Altman surprised even his own board of directors by taking ChatGPT to the public. So, no, I didn't see that interview. I guess I got to hold my nose and watch it, though. I'm not too fond of Mr. Altman at all. But thank you, Spud Ruckus, for being a Melonhead for 11 months. Nashville Pasta Man has been a Melonhead for 19 months. And he says, sent you a video from Nissan HQ, boarded up stores. Yikes. Things are pretty rough at Nissan here, guys. They've been closing plants like crazy. There was a release yesterday. They're closing their design facilities in California and in Brazil. They're consolidating those tens of thousands of layoffs. I don't know that Nissan survives this trade war, to be honest with you. I really don't. Their liquidity problems are big, and I don't know. Just let me know in the comments. Does anybody out there even drive a Nissan? And I don't know. Anybody who actually does drive a Nissan, are you willing to admit that publicly? Like, I'm not even a big car guy. I mean, I drive shitboxes myself, but I just don't see the excitement over Nissan. I don't know how that company makes it. But thank you, Pasta Man. I will check out that video. Thank you, sir, for everything you do for the channel as well. And I just want to say, guys, thank you so much for having your coffee with the Melonheads this morning. The Fed is coming out in a couple hours with interest rates. What will the market do to this largely expected rate cut? We'll just have to wait and see. Thank you, guys. Don't forget that like button and that subscribe button for the algorithm on the way out. Thank you also for the super chats and the support of the channel, as well as you magnanimous Melonheads on Patreon and YouTube. Thank you guys so much for supporting the channel. Links down below should you feel so inclined. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Love you guys. Everybody, till next time, live small and dream big.